Hey, it's the FinTech Newscast. My name's John, and with me, as always, is Steve. How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm the smartest man in FinTech. John, how are you?
Yes. Yes, you are. Absolutely. Well, we've talked to enough FinTechs. We should have learned something by now, but there's always something more. That's for sure.
There's always something on the horizon, absolutely.
And we're lucky. There's always very interesting people, and we have a great example of that this week. We have Maydad Sharon, the founder and CEO at Charge After. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, yeah. You're based out of New York, but I'm detecting some kind of accent, maybe Israeli?
Yeah, maybe Israeli. We started in Israel. I'm originally from Israel, and the company now is in New York with a development center in Israel.
A lot of software talent. You're not the only one operating this way. A lot of research, development, and coding is in Israel, and for companies based all over the world. So you're definitely in a successful model in that regard.
Well, I think that Israel has a culture of innovation, and many things are starting in Israel, especially in the last few years, also in fintech. And obviously the Israeli market is small. So the startups are starting in Israel and then usually moving into the US or in other areas of the world. So yeah, it's a typical model and quite successful one.
You're in the buy now, pay later point of sale financing space. How did you first get started?
I started my career in management consulting and developed from there to the payment space. And while being in the payment space, I saw the gap between the payment space where everything is tightly connected via the networks, where tens of thousands of issuing banks are basically becoming one interface into the merchant. And at the same time, I saw the BNPL industry, the point of sale financing industry, that is kind of disconnected. And I thought that there is a big pain that we can solve in the BNPL industry.
So your product is different from other BNPL products, you are a platform for lenders to deploy their services to consumers. So you're not actually a lender. You're not providing, you're not lending me whatever I need to buy a T-shirt or a Peloton or something. You're actually pulling in a bunch of lenders into one space and then give me an offer as to what is the best credit option based on my profile. Correct?
Exactly. And the challenge, I mean, I would like to elaborate a bit on the pain, right? The pain is both from the consumer side and from the merchant side. As a consumer, when I'm coming to a merchant, and if I have there only one option of BNPL, I might prefer a different option, right? Not necessarily I prefer this specific product, financial product option, meaning not necessarily I prefer a short-term BNPL paying for product because I'm buying something more expensive, or I would like the flexibility of revolving line of credit, or maybe the unique values of lease to own. Secondly, I might not be approved. The approval rate of a typical lender in the point of sale financing today is around 30%, which means that the decline rate is around 70%. Super challenging experience from the consumer side. And even if I am approved, not sure that this is the best product for me. Maybe there is a better product for me. Maybe I have such a credit rating that would allow me to get a superior product with much better APR, with no APR at all. So for the consumer, the current situation is either very limiting or very confusing if there is more than one BNPL option. From the merchant side, there are hundreds of BNPL and point of sale financing options in the market today. And it is super challenging from his side to integrate to all of them and to create the consumer experience that would be ultimately the best for his consumers, that would find for them in a very easy way with minimal amount of data points that they would need to enter, the best option for them, for their specific profile, for the specific purchase. So this is exactly what we do. Charge After is a platform and the network that connects today more than 70 BNPL and point of sale financing option into one simple streamlined solution for the consumer and the merchants.
And do you operate exclusively online, or do you also have a physical point of sale product?
No, we are an omnichannel solution. Today in the platform, we have e-commerce. We started from e-commerce, but also we also have call center, in-store, in-office, which represent, you know, very relevant for the medical space, and in-home as well. All those options are available via the platform.
Well, being the brains behind the product offering and addressing a pain point is certainly a good start for a fintech. But I imagine it's kind of hard to get those first clients. How do you convince those first partners of yours to go with you to try? You know, just for any fintech, any startup, you know, getting those first customers is always a challenge. Since you're the founder, you have to deal with that directly, yeah?
Completely. And since once we have built is a platform, a technology, but also a marketplace that needs both merchants and lenders, which today we have a lot of volume, a lot of traffic, and very big merchants and banks on the platform, but we didn't when we started. It was a challenge. And I think that at this stage, we requested, you know, a few years ago from the first lenders on the platform and from the first merchants on the platform, a leap of faith. I think that they believed in the vision. They saw the pain. They saw that the merchants saw that they have multiple lenders, and this is creating super challenging experience for the consumer, super confusing experience for the consumer, and they needed a solution. And the lenders from their side understood that if the consumer experience is broken, and they need to apply to the first option, and then to the second option, then to the third, not knowing if they will approve or not, and if they were approved, is it the best for them or not? Maybe they were approved for a subprime option and they can get much better. Those pain points really helped us to sell at the beginning and get the trust of the financial institutions that we are working with them today and with the merchants on the other side. But it is a challenge, right? It is always a challenge when you start a company and you need to convince your first clients in something that is a vision at this stage.
Right. Yeah, I imagine you're selling a marketplace with nobody in the market yet. It's I'm sure. Well, just hearing you speak, I'm sure that that helped it as well. I guess the other side of it, and I see that you've raised funds before for Charge After, is convincing investors to jump in. What do you think made the difference in terms of getting your first rounds of outside financing?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that what we are building makes a lot of sense. You know, what I always am telling the investors, and I think that they understand it very well. If you think about the development of the payment space initially started with an issuing bank connecting directly to a merchant. This is how it started before Visa and MasterCard. And then Visa and MasterCard came and they basically allowed you as a consumer to purchase anywhere, regardless where you issued your card. They connected this disconnected industry. Instead of one-to-one, one lender to one merchant, it became tens of thousands of issuing banks, allowing the consumers to purchase and almost any merchant that is working with either Visa or MasterCard. The point of sale financing is almost like the payment space 50 years ago, where still lenders are trying to connect directly into the merchants. We don't think that this stage has a lot of sense going forward. There are hundreds of lenders today in the market, and there needs to be a layer that will connect all of them. We are building the rails. We are building the pipes of the BNPL and point of sale financing industry. And I think that the investors saw the vision and the logic to this vision from the beginning. And this is why we had such great investors from the industry like Visa, Citibank, Synchrony Bank, and Bradesco, Mitsubishi Bank, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, yeah, those are definitely some names that would help out, that would help you up, and those key connections with platforms like that, I imagine would be good as well. So, you know, you guys have been around, I guess, just over 6 years. You know, I always like to ask about a pivot point. Something, did you start this way and did you have to switch? I like hearing about companies that have that flexibility to listen to the market and reconfigure or reprioritize or focus on a different product than what they thought. You know, some very few get it right off the bat and take off. Were you like that, or was there a pivot or two in this story?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, you know, strategically, I think. When we started, you know, I think that the North Star of building the leading BNPL and point of sale financing platform and network didn't change from the moment that we started. The challenge and the pain point that we are solving just became more and more important as the market evolved during the last 5 years to more payment point of sale financing and BNPL payment options, in terms of paying for long-term installment, card installments, revolving line of credit, B2B and B2C, leasing options, etc. So the pain just became bigger, but we did have a few changes in response to the market. We started as an e-commerce only solution. And then we saw that the merchants that we are serving, you know, they want us to serve the client wherever they are approaching them, right? They can approach them in office, if this is a medical, in the medical segment. They can approach them in store if it's in the retail segment. They can surely call them via call center. So we developed our solution a few years back from e-commerce only to a real omnichannel solution. And this is actually not only in response to the merchants, but also in response to the consumer behavior that we saw. We saw many cases where consumers were checking the product, even applying online, but actually buying in store or in office. So we wanted to allow our customers, our merchants, to use us directly. So this is the first change that happened. The second change that happened was probably 3 years ago, when the market started to become very dominant and BNPL became a buzzword. We saw then that the payment providers that until then were really disconnected. There was the point of sale financing and BNPL market, and there was the classic payment market. And we saw the payments players, the biggest acquirers in the world, the biggest gateways in the world, the leading banks in the world, are looking to join the game. They basically said, we understand that BNPL is important enough. We understand that there is a real consumer need to be able to get the credit they need at the point of sale, point of need. We want to join the game. But then when they looked at the space and thought, how can they join the game? They understood that there are hundreds of BNPL players in the market, or point of sale financing, right? The wider definition, with all kinds of financial products, serving all kinds of credit boxes in multiple territories. And as not as other payment options, this area includes not only payments, but also origination of credit and all the compliance that is connected to that. And there was a very good product market fit between the rails that we have built and the expertise in connecting credit origination with payments to what they needed. So we started actually 3 years ago to serve not only merchants and connect them to lenders, but also help the leading payment players and FIs in general to get into the market, to use the rails that we have built, to use our technology in order to get into the market. And we, you know, this started 3 years ago, especially now with everything that is happening now with the more fintech players. We see more and more banks that are getting into the market and will get into the market using the better cost of funds, their regulation, and just their network of existing merchants, where they want to offer to them this very attractive payment option to their consumers. So those are the two changes, I think: move from e-commerce to omnichannel, and actually starting to serve not only the merchants and connecting them to the lenders, but providing banks and FIs in general, both issuing banks and acquirers, and the use of the platform and network that we have built, the community of banks that are connected to us.
So I think you're facing a bit of a headwind as an industry, right? We see how Apple is getting into the space, and they will likely have a very robust, great product with a great customer segment who uses their products, their products already. And we've seen also how Klarna has had their valuation slashed significantly as well. There's rising interest rates. So this essentially a lot of headwinds coming your way. How will you as a company address what's becoming an increasingly competitive space with a lot of established, well-funded, basically unlimited cash players? And also sort of the general falling out of favor, if you will, of the BNPL space in the past year and a half or so?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. We think that there are probably headwinds coming towards the industry in general, right? The economy in general. And we also see that there are headwinds towards BNPL, but I want to be very specific. The headwinds are towards the very specific pay-in-four product with the unregulated fintech players, right? I don't think that there are headwinds towards point of sale financing and the ability and need of the consumer to have credit at point of sale, which is subsidized by the merchant, right? This is the wider definition in my mind for BNPL. And actually the need for consumers for credit will just increase in the coming years, especially in the current situation. And the need of credit that is instant and personalized and optimized for them and will increase because this is how they used to get credit to buy and consume things in other spaces, right? When I'm buying now a TV, I'm getting multiple options personalized and optimized for me. So the need for credit instant and optimized for me will just increase. There are headwinds because of, I think, two main reasons, right? First, the funding costs increases, and this is creating headwinds to the ones that don't have those source of funds available. And this is becoming more challenging. And it is also creating headwinds to the companies that are unregulated. And let's face it, right? The classic BNPL paying for, they used a specific area that wasn't regulated yet. They actually credited the debit, right? This is what they did. This headwind is not relevant for all the other long-term installments, card installments, revolving line of credit, lease-to-own, all the other areas that were highly regulated before, as they should be, right? We are speaking about a credit to consumers. This should be regulated. This should be organized in a way that it will serve the consumers and not damage them. So those two headwinds are relevant to a specific segment of all the fintech BNPL companies. I can tell you because we are working with the leading banks in the world today, as of, you know, Citi, Citizen, Synchrony, et cetera. They see this as an opportunity because they are saying we are also already regulated, right? We have the cost of regulation. We have much better cost of funds. Now, the need of the consumers to BNPL didn't change, right? The consumers still need credit. They still need credit at the point of sale, at the point of need. They need the ability of the merchants to subsidize the credit, almost as a sales tool, so they can buy with them and not with their competitors. All those basic needs that are driving the point of sale financing and BNPL industry, they didn't change. In a way, in the economical situation that is starting to happen, maybe in a situation of recession, those needs will only increase. The demand for credit will increase. And specifically to charge after, you know, I spoke about the market, specifically to charge after, we think that the value proposition of a network, of a platform that enables the merchants to have multiple lenders, cutting the dependency in one single lender that can go out of the market in a recession situation because of all the headwinds that you mentioned, that can maybe change their approval rate, cut it by 50%. And we saw those things happening at the beginning of COVID. We see them now. We are enabling to create redundancy and optimization and keeping the approval rate stable for the merchants and actually creating much better product for the consumers where we are matching the consumer profile with A, the lenders that are approving him, and B, with the ones that are optimized to his profile. So we really think that the situation is creating a lot of tailwinds actually to charge after. And this is kind of growing the industry from a single lender to merchant relationship to a platform and a network. As happened, you know, many years ago in the payment space, we believe that the same trend is happening now in the market. And this is what we hear from merchants, right? Merchants that are working with multiple lenders, but they are lacking this connectivity layer, from consumers that are facing 30, 20, 10% approval rate in some cases, which is a very bad consumer experience, especially when you are at the end of the funnel, right? At the checkout page, at the payment page, after all the investment that the merchant made.
On that note, you offer an 85% approval rating, which seems to me to be rather high. Can you walk me through the mechanics of how you're able to approve 85% of people who want to get credit?
So we don't do, right? We don't approve the consumers. The network of banks that are working with us are approving them. And the idea is the power of many. When a consumer is entering our system, we are taking their data once, the minimal amount of data possible, usually four data points. And then we are checking their profile with multiple lenders, starting from prime lenders, going to near prime, and in a waterfall cadence, basically, allowing the consumer to be presented with the best options, in definition, the best options that will approve him, and then choose between those options. He can choose between all kinds of installments, from paying for to long-term installments, or maybe revolving because he likes the flexibility. So the way that we are reaching 85% is with the network of banks that we have. Each one of them has a different risk appetite. Each one of them has a different algorithm. Even if this consumer is a prime consumer, there might be a bank that will decline him and a bank that will approve him because their risk algorithms are different. And John, I think that you have a specific background in this area, so I'm sure that you can understand the different risk and underwriting algorithms of each.
I thought you meant all the times I got turned down for credit.
They are turned down for credit.
Yeah. I have a lot of experience with that. And there's specialties in different segments of the market. Exactly. So it's not a one size fits all necessarily. And that's the power of this marketplace, which makes your offering interesting. Does this kind of technology, I'm wondering from the bank's perspective, which are your partners, do you hear concerns or do you see maybe missed opportunities with some of the large banks, certainly that can afford it, to be commoditized with really effective technology like yours, so that they're kind of in the background there. Their brand becomes less relevant to the consumer. I guess we've seen that a lot with embedded finance. What do you think of that? And do you think there's something that especially the larger banks could be or should be doing differently?
And also, sorry, yeah, as a piggyback to that question as well, are you killing the credit card industry?
Those are very, very different questions, right? I would start by if I'm killing, you know, so I want to be modest, right? I don't think the charge after is killing the credit card industry. I do think that the general trend of the new phenomena of the consumer being able to get the credit they need at the point of sale, point of need, eventually connecting the credit origination, which is today in the credit card experience, is different, right? I go to my bank, I get a credit card, I'm doing the credit origination with my bank, and then I'm paying. Two separate experiences. The unification of those two into the point of sale, the ability to get instant credit at the point of sale, point of need, will be the future of credit. This is what we believe. We also believe that the unification of multiple credit option into one experience is also the future of credit, just because it creates much better experience for the consumer, both in terms of approval rate, but also in terms of personalization and choice. So we really think that there will be a movement from credit cards to point of sale financing, BNPL, and within that, the network and platforms will be the dominating solutions in the future. And in many ways, we think that the credit industry is in a similar way where the as of the internet was in the year 2000, meaning that, you know, the TV and newsletter were still super dominant. Internet was very small, but we see what happened 22 years later. We think that point of sale financing and BNPL is just starting to happen. And why is that? Because it just makes more sense. It's better for the consumer. The ability, you know, as you mentioned, I came from Israel. So just telling you a bit about my experience. When I came to Israel, I had no credit rating in the US whatsoever, right? And in Israel, I had the best, you know, a great credit rating. So I got, you know, whatever credit card I could. I didn't change it until now. I don't have the time to go and bid between the banks and get the best credit option that is available to me. I didn't have the time to compare different credit options. We are doing all of that in real time in each purchase for the consumer, right? In a way, we are bidding on behalf of the consumers and connecting him. We are removing this disconnect in the industry and creating better experience. So to make it short to the first answer, we do think that point of sale financing and BNPL is the future of credit. And slowly but surely, this will move the way that credit cards are acting today into this new version. It doesn't mean that installments will take the place of revolving. We believe that all those financial products, card installments, we are enabling Visa installments on our platform, and regular installments, paying for long-term installments as some of the banks are offering, revolving line of credit, leasing, all of those options are relevant, both to consumers and businesses. As you said before, one size doesn't fit all. We are all different and we should have the choice. So we do believe, and this is why we're super excited what we are doing, that the future is that this industry will become bigger and the connectivity will become more important. Mm-hmm. Regarding the banks, which is completely different question, right? This is a completely different topics and what they feel about the model of our model, right? The connectivity that we offer in the market, it is really different between banks that are in the industry, which understand the value, but they would like to keep their one-to-one relationship with the merchants. I mean, in many cases, they have exclusivity relationship with the merchants for many years. I'm sure that you are familiar with that. To banks that are entering the industry, I think that we are not threatening those banks. We are not changing the commercial agreements. So if a merchant decides that they want to work with a specific bank as their prime exclusive solution, we will enable it on the platform, right? The merchants are deciding how to configure the system to use our system. So we are not threatening that. But there are concerns to some banks, and we are always telling them we are serving the merchants. The decision is of the merchant. There are other banks that are using our technology to go to market. They're basically saying, we know how to lend money. We know how to underwrite consumer. We know how to service loans. We are regulated. We have the funds. We know all of it. What we don't really know and we need your help, charge after, is how to connect our solution into the merchants, how we deal with serving the merchants in all those post-sale experiences, in reporting, in the connectivity, easy connectivity into all the leading shopping carts and point of sale devices, and et cetera, et cetera. And in those cases, we are serving the banks with our technology and enabling them to go to market, also knowing that those banks are typically serving only specific credit box, typically the prime, and they won't be able to give 85% approval rate. So they want other banks to pick the declines that they have, so the merchant will have a better solution. So in other words, we are not fighting our partners. We are enabling them. And the banks and the different lenders in the market are our partners, and we serve the merchant. So it's a one value proposition, but it is slightly different towards the two segments that we serve, the merchants and the lenders.
So I see the tremendous value prop that you bring to merchants, to lenders as well, how you can I'm assuming that with your product, you can increase the basket size. You can increase the number of transactions as well. From a consumer side, though, I know that I read a report recently that said that 91% of consumer loans in California were BNPL loans. And we've also seen, of course, the balloon in consumer debt in the US. I guess, philosophically, how do you think about the effects of BNPL in a much more tech savvy, young person friendly approach we'll have on consumer debt going forward?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And we think, I just want to make myself very clear. We think that regulation is extremely important to the market. We have a VP compliance in charge after. We work tightly with, you know, the leading banks. We have, you know, the investor that I mentioned before that are obviously heavily regulated. We think that optimizing the solution for the consumer doesn't mean that we need to pump him with credit from all sorts all the time. We feel that as a platform, we have an important place. For example, we don't allow what we call top-up, what is happening in the market without a platform. There are cases, for example, where a merchant would connect to five different lenders. I would come and buy a watch in $10,000, and then I would get $2,000 from the first lender, $1,000 from the second lender, et cetera, until I would have my full amount subsidized. We don't allow that on our platform. We are trying to help and optimize the experience for the consumers and also not allow things that will risk him. So we are not the regulator, right? The regulator needs to set the rules, but we are, in a way, a tool for the industry to act in a better way, because we see all the lenders, right? And we see the consumer, and we're trying to build the experience in charge after according to all the regulations that are needed. So consumer won't have too much credit, that they would have the credit they need according to their annual income, according to the thing that they are buying, et cetera, et cetera. So we are not responsible for what the lenders decide, but we do try to build the best technology that would prevent things like top-up, which are obviously bad for the consumers and bad for the lenders.
Well, you have me convinced, Maydad. Where do I send a check to invest?
We will touch base later.
Okay, it's great. Well, yeah, keep up the good work. You know, we love to see companies addressing these pain points. That's always an opportunity. And it looks like you guys are doing a great job with it. Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me, and really interesting to speak with you. Thank you.
Yeah, very interesting. That's Maydad Sharon, the founder and CEO at Charge After. Please hit subscribe to keep up with the latest in fintech news, and thank you for listening.